Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, John Kamensky, and this morning's conversation is with Ralph Basham, Commissioner, U.S. Customs and Border Protection, which is part of the Department of Homeland Security. Also joining us in our conversation is Dave Abel, Director of Homeland Security Services at IBM. Ralph, would you tell us about the new Office of Intelligence and Operations Coordination that you mentioned earlier? How is it going to enhance CBP's capabilities and help you transform CBP into a fully integrated and intelligence-driven organization, which is one of your top priorities?
Well, John, CBP is now a collection of legacy agencies, INS, Agriculture, Border Patrol, and Customs. And each of those entities had its own form of collecting information and disseminating information. And I believe that it's important that we coordinate that effort and that we have one way of collection, one way of analyzing, and one way of disseminating. We now combine that within one structure. And so by creating this new office and bringing all of those structures together to have one view of the world versus two or three views of the world was the purpose for which I brought it together. Whatever the situation may bring to us, to have one place, a one-stop shopping that we could go to in order to be able to, first of all, identify and then make decisions as to how we are going to react to or interdict or mitigate a particular problem. I have to say it's in its infancy, and of course any time when you're trying to reorganize and restructure, you've got a lot of challenges. You've got challenges that relate to cultural issues. You've got challenges that relate to connectivity. How do you connect all of these different entities out there? The staffing is incredibly important. Who goes into those particular entities? Finding the right person to run it. It's very important that you have the right person that is recognized as someone who can relate to and understands that world. But I believe that it's my responsibility to put in place a foundation for the next commissioners to make decisions on where they wanted to go with it. I recognize you can't get this done in the period of time I have, but at least by laying that foundation that they can then build upon, I think is an important move.
Well, a clear priority for both Homeland Security and CBP is achieving operational control of our borders. Could you tell us a little bit more about your strategy in this area, specifically how the Secure Border Initiative as well as the Western Hemisphere Travel Initiative factor into this strategy?
Again, I have to go back to September the 11th. And former Commissioner Bonner recognized that we could not afford for our borders to be the first line of defense and that we needed to push our borders out and literally make our borders the last line of defense. Commissioner Bonner and his team put into place a number of initiatives that drove toward that objective. They created the requirement that people who were shipping goods to this country, that they had to give us a 24-hour notice of what was going to be coming to the United States, whether it was in a container or whether it was in an aircraft, whatever it was that we needed to have advance information prior to that item or that person coming. They also at that point created the National Targeting Center, where they took that information, analyzed that information, and made determinations as to whether or not that posed a threat to us, whether it was a container or whether it was an individual. The partnerships, as I said, that Commissioner Bonner recognized that, again, Customs, this was Legacy Customs, could not do this job alone. He reached out to the trade community and basically formulated a new partnership, and that's called the Customs and Trade Partnership Against Terrorism, CTPAT, where the trade provides to Customs at that time information that relates to the supply chain and exactly what they are doing in the trade to secure their own supply chain, which helps us then make determinations on what poses a threat. Recognizing, again, this was a global issue. It wasn't strictly a United States issue. So reaching out to foreign governments, creating the Container Security Initiative, which was meant to provide us, again, advance information as to what was in those containers, who stuffed those containers. And so that became a huge part of the strategy. And applying technology, radiation portal monitors that check for, you know, anything that may be within a container that may pose a threat from radiation. Mm-hmm. What the technology that was employed was the non-intrusive inspection, an X-ray, gamma ray, so that you can see inside, which means that you don't have to open up the box to tell what's in there. But the key element here in all of these is that the information that you are requesting and the type of information that you request, which means that you're better able to assess the risk, and so that you focus your attention on what those threats are and the level of risk it may present, reducing the size of the haystack so that you focus on only those things that present a risk. What is so important here is that you have to strike a balance. You have to strike a balance between security and facilitation. Because if you apply a heavy layer of security, which then impedes the ability to move goods and services, then in effect, what you have done is you have allowed them to win because now they have attacked our economy. So the Secure Border Initiative is basically the same in that you're pushing your borders out. And you're getting advanced information on individuals and things that may be coming into this country that may pose a threat or cause harm to our citizens or to our nation or our agricultural systems out there. So SBINet was created sort of it's a three-pronged approach. The first is getting our borders secured. That is also a layered approach. The second leg in that three-legged stool is interior enforcement, where our sister agency, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, is charged with the responsibility of enforcing the laws within the United States that deal with hiring illegal immigrants. And the third leg on that stool was developing a temporary worker program or a guest worker program, because recognizing that there is a need for labor in this country, we need to come up with a system by which we can allow people to come into this country and work, but we want them to do that legally, not illegally. We want them to come through our front door and not try to get through our back door. So SBI is really about those three initiatives to be able to get the borders controlled.
So I want to go back to one of the points that you made a moment ago about reducing the size of the haystack. And you mentioned in the first segment your priority about being able to collect valuable intelligence information. And now in the second segment, you've mentioned to us that there's a need to be able to cull down that valuable intelligence information to things that are actionable or things that you can respond to. One of the systems that we read about or hear about frequently is ATS, or the Automated Targeting System. Can you tell us a little bit about what ATS is and what things you're working on to enhance it and to provide benefits from ATS?
ATS, the Automated Targeting System, is a system that is in place. There's two elements to it. One is about looking at people that are coming to the United States, and the other, which we've just started to develop, is to look at cargo that comes into the United States. And for many years, Customs and Legacy Immigration has been using information that was provided to them to make determination as to whether or not a person is admissible to the United States. And by collecting what they call advanced passenger information, using PNR, which is the personal name record information, and then running that information against a set of rules and a set of databases to make the determination as to whether or not a person, first of all, presents a threat to this country from a terrorist perspective, and then secondly, determining whether that person, when they arrive here, can be admitted. Those two pieces of information we collect, we want to make that determination before that person arrives in this country. And we just last week announced through Secretary Chertoff with Kip Hawley, the administrator at TSA, an expanded initiative with that it was called AQQ, and that means APIS Quick Query, which means before someone gets on an airplane in a foreign country, that we run those names against the two lists, the terrorist watch list and the no-fly list, to be able to make a determination at that point whether that person should or should not get on that airplane. Heretofore, from Customs, Legacy Customs, and CBP, would vet that information after the aircraft left for the United States. Now we're going to be vetting that information prior to that aircraft actually leaving that airport. It is eventually going to be, it's called a secure flight, which TSA, within the next year or so, will be taking on all of that responsibility of vetting all of those passengers against those lists. And so working with TSA, we are able to better make that determination. Now, of course, that means that we have to have the right information. We have to have the right information to be able to make a determination on that person's, whether they pose a threat or don't pose a threat. Same thing with the cargo side. Running that information against a set of rules to make a determination as to whether we want to, first of all, allow that container to be placed on the vessel to begin with. And if that poses a high enough risk in our targeting tools, we pull that container aside and physically, or using radiation portal monitors or the other gamma X-ray types of equipment, make a determination as to what's in there so that we can clear that and allow that shipper to put it on the ship. That does not mean, however, that that's the end of it. And throughout that time that that cargo is moving, we're running it against other targeting tools so that even when it comes into the United States, we still can pull that container aside and inspect that container. By the end of 2008, every single container coming into the United States will go through radiation the portal monitors. 100% is going to be expected and screened. So it's all about, again, pushing out those borders.
A number of the examples you've given us, there's a requirement for contradictory behaviors. And even in the mission of CBP in providing security and facilitation of trade at the same time, one of those that's most striking to me is that a law enforcement organization, CBP has a significant law enforcement component, has a history of collecting information and using it for law enforcement, but also now has the need to be able to share that information with other organizations in the Department of Homeland Security, throughout our government or other governments as well. How do you inspire behavior in the organization to be able to promote the sharing of information as opposed to keeping information very tightly held?
Well, I have to say that I have to give Secretary Chertoff and the Deputy Secretary, Michael Jackson, a tremendous amount of credit here because they've made it very clear that the mission is a DHS mission. It's not a mission of individual and separate components. The information that I have, that I collect, that can assist, whether it's the Coast Guard or TSA or whether it's ICE or any of our sister agencies, Secret Service, if I have information that's going to be able to help them accomplish their mission, it's really all about a DHS mission. It's about our responsibility to protect this country against bad things and bad people from getting in. And they've made it very clear that our first responsibility is making sure that the information that we collect gets to the people that can use the information. And so I have worked very hard within CBP to make sure that that becomes institutionalized. So whether it's the Citizens and Immigration Services, you know, that collect information who we need and can provide assistance to us in getting our mission done, or TSA or whomever. That is a critical component that's necessary if we're truly going to be a one agency with the mission of protecting the homeland.
Well, we talked a little bit about your goal of an intelligence-driven organization, and we just talked a little bit about the collaborative efforts and partnerships that you're looking at. The third one was integrity. Integrity, as you said, is the soul of any law enforcement agency, and you've placed important emphasis on it, especially with your frontline officers. I understand that one of your first actions as commissioners was to create this internal affairs office that you mentioned earlier and develop a comprehensive integrity strategy. Could you tell us a little bit more about this strategy and the importance this has on the success of your organization?
As you pointed out, one of my first moves when I became commissioner, and I have to say that former Commissioner Bonner recognized this as a priority for CBP. And I'll say it from the outset that 99.99% of our workforce out there, I believe to be of high integrity and commitment to the mission of the organization. But we all recognize that it only takes one person to bring down all of the efforts of the entire organization. whether it's someone who is facilitating the movement of drugs across our borders illegally, whether it's someone who is transporting illegal aliens across our borders, whether it's someone that is trying to bring in something that is going to attack our agricultural system. All those being obviously things that I'm concerned about. But if that individual who may, he or she, who may turn their back for a few moments to allow something to come into this country, and that something becomes the last component that's going to go into a device that may bring havoc and cause huge death in this country, that's something that we cannot tolerate. I believe that it's my responsibility to make sure that we have an organizational structure within CBP so that I can police my own workforce. We work very closely with our partners in ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, on this issue, and we work very collaboratively on this issue. But I feel that with a workforce of 48,000 people plus, of which probably 38,000 of those are law enforcement officers who have the responsibility of protecting our borders. I may have said it earlier. They work in one of the highest threat environments in the world when it comes to corruption. And we've got to be able to show them that that responsibility and their judgment and their decisions could very well have a very dramatic impact on this country. And so that's why I feel strongly that we have to have a policing organization within our organization to take a look at that, to be proactive. I don't want to investigate. I want to prevent.
Well, how is CBP managing its border and port security strategy? We will ask Ralph Basham, Commissioner, U.S. Customs and Border Protection, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.